Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Dive Into Diet. I'm with the star of the show, Lucas Schmidt. We're with the part two.
Part two.
Part two.
Part two again.
Part two of foods with medications.
Foods with medications.
Foods red that flags. We should avoid. Yes, red
or,
flags.
Yeah, or things to bring up with your doctor. Tell your doctor you're eating these foods if they prescribe you medications.
Yes, this is just...
Two more today. Two more sort of interactions we're going
to
discuss.
And I think we need to talk more about this, about... Like things you need to bring to your office visit with a doctor. Like
yeah,
this is a,
it's knowledge you want to have.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people maybe are either intimidated to say or ask questions in a doctor's appointment. Sometimes there's time constraints. A lot of practices. Performance medicine, you get a lot of time.
That's right.
with your provider, which is awesome. But a lot of insurance-based practices particularly, those doctors are so crunched for time.
Right.
Because they have... overbooking a lot of the time at their office. And so that might, but you never, I would never apologize for asking a question of my doctor or holding them up for a minute. It's my body they're treating.
Yeah.
I mean, and see, at the end of the day, I have to go home with this.
Yes.
Whatever they tell me to do, I have to go home with it. They don't have to go home with it. They have their own body.
Right.
So I have every right to say, now, how's that going to affect my liver?
Right.
What's going to happen to my hair if I take that, et cetera? What foods can I eat with this or not eat? I would imagine some doctors are pleasantly surprised by that question. It's got to be frustrating to doctors with patients who don't care about their health.
I agree.
And so if they have one that's actually interested, maybe they might be like, oh, you're asking me a fun question. Let's answer it.
Avoid these
Let's
foods.
Hope that's the kind of doctor you've got.
That's
so,
right.
All right. And keep just a reminder, I say this all the time, but I'm not a doctor. Okay. I'm the food guy. I'm food. So these suggestions, again, you have to ask your doctor about them and bring them up with your doctor. That's mainly why we're doing the episode is you need to bring these things up.
Yep.
So we're doing two more interactions. We did two in the last one, which was blood pressure medications and some other medications, primarily blood pressure with grapefruit and calcium source foods, primarily dairy products with antibiotics.
Yep.
Today we're going to discuss – so the first one I'm going to bring up, I actually talked to Andy about it earlier today, and he said luckily this type of drug isn't commonly prescribed anymore. I guess it's considered antiquated. It's a little old-fashioned in the psychiatry community. It's a depressant, antidepressant.
Okay.
It's got an acronym. Typically, it's referred to as an MAOI, which stands for monoamine oxidase inhibitor. Okay? So monoamine oxidase is an enzyme that helps our brains move certain monoamines out. Okay. I'll give them by their more common names. Dopamine. We've heard of dopamine.
Yep.
Serotonin, very commonly discussed in the psychological community. And norepinephrine. Those are the most common. There's other ones, but those are the most well known. So monoamine oxidase is made by our body. It's very important. It helps keep those levels where they should be in the brain. It keeps them from getting too high. Because you might think, well, I can't have enough serotonin. That's the happy hormone. That's one of them, isn't it? Well, if you have too much of these, I actually looked up what happens to you if either any of these goes too high in the brain. Norepinephrine, you can have your blood pressure go to hypertensive state if you have too much. Very dangerous. It's very dangerous if your blood pressure shoots to the roof. That can cause a stroke, so that's not good. Serotonin levels, if those are too high, you can have seizures. And if you have too much dopamine, you can have a really terrible case of ADHD. You can be like out of your mind. So like all over
right.
the place. So you're
right.
gonna have like excitability, maybe irritability. So we don't want those to be too high. Okay. Now, people with depression often have too low levels of one of those for whatever reason. So my understanding of MAOIs was, well, we're gonna inhibit it, the thing that flushes it out of the brain because the levels are already too low. So now we have sort of a normal amount. It rations it more than brings it. It doesn't bring it up. It rations it. Okay, these drugs keep your body from, your brain from metabolizing these too quickly.
Okay, that makes
sense.
So
I don't want to get to, I'm not a psychiatrist. A psychiatrist would give you a great and much better explanation than I can give of how those work. It's incredibly complicated, which is why they are doctors. But that's the long and the short. So... if you're taking one of those medications, which they have better ones nowadays, I believe, for most cases. So that solves most of this problem. You're not taking them. Some of you might be. And if you are, tyramine-rich foods, okay? Tyramine, I believe, is a monoamine as well. So it's like an amino acid, but a single mono,
okay,
single strand or single piece, single particle. Chocolate, red wine, or any kind of preserved meats, aged meats like sausage and mainly sausage or pepperoni, things like that.
Yeah.
And aged cheeses and soy products are high in tyramine. So you're going to want to ask your doctor or psychiatrist if you're being prescribed one of this type of MAOIs, if you can consume these still, because they can interfere with monoamine oxidase and cause severe. Primarily, the biggest concern with eating these foods and taking one of these was a hypertensive episode.
Now, is this another case where there's a time frame from when you take it?
I don't
or
think
just,
so.
Just avoid
it? When I saw hypertensive episode, meaning stroke,
yeah,
or like severe cardio, you know, dangerous blood pressure levels, I'm like, well, that's
just
probably
don't.
Not something I'm going to flirt with.
Right.
I could be wrong, and that'd be something to bring up with your doctor. Can I eat this if I take my medication right when I wake up? Can I eat this for dinner?
Right.
Can I do that? Because that might be plausible.
Right.
But the worse the consequence, the more likely I am just to stay away from.
Yeah, it's almost the risk is too high.
Yeah, it's a luckily, like Andy informed me, this is considered sort of old school psychiatry, so maybe this isn't a prevalent drug and we don't need to worry. But I thought it was pertinent. Hypertensive episode frightened me a little bit.
Yeah.
So the next one is, this one's a little interesting, and this one I think is very pertinent to now, because hypothyroidism is very common.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the thyroid gland isn't doing enough. Hyper is doing too much. Hypothyroidism is often treated with a drug called levothyroxine.
Yep.
It's also used to treat an enlarged thyroid, or sometimes they give it to people with thyroid cancer. So if you're one of these people that has to take levothyroxine, high fiber foods can inhibit the absorption of that drug.
Mm.
They're not going to cause you to overdose on it, like grapefruit would on blood pressure medication, but the fiber and lectins, probably, they nickname those anti-nutrients. It's kind of a buzzword or buzz phrase. But you just want to check on your fiber amount and see, maybe ask your doctor, is this going to inhibit my gut's ability to absorb this drug? Because sometimes the fiber is indigestible, but fiber sometimes binds, right? It can grab hold of things. And you don't want it to grab hold of your drugs. So
what would be considered a high fiber food?
Good question. Lots of beans, okay, lentils,
yep,
legumes, certain greens. If you're trying to eat lower fiber produce, some fruit like melons, it's hard. Blueberries aren't as high as fiber as the other berries would be. Some citrus fruits, you know, if you juice it, or some citrus fruits are incredibly high. Check that grapefruit, though. Lemons, limes, oranges, things like that. So these are things that you could maybe try, you know, as opposed to like raspberries, which are, I think, the highest fiber fruit in existence.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Per pound, I think, measure-wise, because of the seed, there are tiny little seeds in there. Blackberries are high in fiber. Apples, sort of, I hear both. It's like a give and take. It's a gentler fruit, but there's fiber in there. Are you ever eating too many green apples?
No.
Oh, well, don't.
I've eaten too many Brussels sprouts, and that was a nightmare.
That was the last thing I ate before my appendix ruptured.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not saying that caused it. Don't say that. But my brain associates those with the worst experience of my life. So
interesting.
I can't eat them.
Yeah.
I used to love them. I ate a whole bag of them the night before. So like I woke up at 4 a.m. after eating probably a pound. I roasted them and I thought, man, these are so, yeah. And I woke up and I thought, ooh, I didn't roast them enough. They were too raw. I'm coming out of my skin. It wasn't that, but you know, you get sick on a food. It's years before you can even.
No, I don't blame you. Yeah.
But the Brussels sprouts would be a high fiber.
Yeah.
Cruciferous things are usually high fiber. You know, broccoli, cauliflower, things like that. And you could ask your doctor, hey, is there a list of foods that you know of and the type of fibers that I should be avoiding? For me, I just wanted to be kind of general. That way when you go in to an appointment with the doctor and they say, we need to put you on this for your thyroid, you can say, what are the foods I can be eating?
Yep.
Because I've read articles or heard tell, I hear tell, that high fiber can inhibit absorption of this drug. Is that true? And if so, what's the list? You know it. Can you email it to me? You can be a nag for your doctor. It's your body.
These are good conversations to have with your provider. I think it's super smart. Yeah.
Those are the two that I wanted to discuss today.
So. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. I appreciate that. What we're going to do, guys, is link the part one in the description below. Is that a show?
That's a show.
That's a series.
Series.
The series is done with food and medications for now. Lucas, I appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Guys, we will see y'all next time. Don't go away. Thanks, guys, for listening to this episode of the podcast. Please share the podcast with your friends. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. We will see you guys next time.